All right. Thank you for that. If you, again, I mentioned if you didn't have an opportunity, you can over the next 2 weeks. Oscar, I need a little more on the monitors. That will be good. Well, it's Christmas time. I'm not preaching a Christmas message, but this time of year, there's a lot of celebrations, a lot of parties, okay? I've already been to three, okay? Filipino, staff, the singles, okay? So I'm done. I've put my time in, all right? Spending time with family is not a party. It's a duty, chore. But celebrations are just a part of life. We like to celebrate. We celebrate birth. Of course, don't be passing out cigars. Marriages, most people do. Holidays. And you ever notice there's a lot of different special days? It seems like every day is celebrating something. So I looked at a few of them. I mentioned this the other day. If your New Year's resolution is to lose weight, January 2nd is National Buffet Day, all right? That's out of the question. Hey, January 16th, you should like that. You know what that is? National Nothing Day. Most of you celebrate that every day of the year, right? One of my personal favorites, February 9th, National Pizza Day. Got to be honest, that should be every day right there. Okay, here's one that's very important. March 13th is National Open an Umbrella Indoors Day. April 28th, National Superhero Day. This one makes no sense. May 29th, National Put a Pillow on Your Fridge Day. September 5th, there's another one that you guys celebrate a lot, not just September 5th. National Be Late for Something Day, all right? How many of you celebrate that all the time? Yeah, no, September 5th only. Okay, September 11th, this should be something we celebrate every day. Make Your Bed Day. September 19th, can't wait. I think that's Emily's birthday. National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Arr. November 15th, and if you wait until this to do this, you are going to have some issues, all right? National Clean Your Refrigerator Day. If not, you're going to have science experiments. All right, I forgot. I don't know what day National Coffee Day, but that one should be every day. We like parties. Today we're going to look in Luke chapter 5 at a very important party. As Jesus went around doing good and performing miracles, as I've mentioned before, he just constantly faced criticism. There were those that had a form of religion, but they were not religious. They were not saved, and they were always trying to try to tie him up with the scriptures. There were those that had their own rules and regulations and really contradicted scripture. Ladies, if we could listen, please. There were Jews, really most of them were Jews that had no clue. They rejected their Messiah, so they were always trying to get at him. And that's true. Those who hold a form of religion seem to give the truth in Christianity the biggest amount of trouble. Jesus' message often did not resonate with those who were religious. That's why Jesus went to the common man. He went to the people that were having problems in their life. And we're going to see him do that today. In fact, he goes to someone that we would not see as a good candidate for salvation today, and especially in their day. He goes to see a tax collector. Okay? By the way, it'd be a lot better if they all got saved. Amen? It'd be so much better that our taxes might come down. He goes to his place of business. His name is Levi. That's another name for Matthew. He's the one who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Now, as we think of tax collectors today, they're not popular. They were particularly not popular in those days, but for other reasons. Simply because they were typically Jews who were working for the Roman government to collect taxes for them. They were under oppression with the Roman rule, and these people were seen as sellouts that compromised their own people to work for the Romans, and they collected a certain amount of taxes they had to turn in. Anything they got over and above that, they can keep. So you can imagine what they did. They charged extra, and they were very wealthy, and they made a lot of money off of their own people by serving a government that really was not there. So Jesus goes there, and in verse 27, he makes a point-blank statement to this tax collector. He says, and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, two words, follow me. Could you imagine? A tax collector, not very popular in their society, Jesus comes walking up and says, hey, follow me. Even more shocking is the fact that verse 28, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. For whatever reason, the Spirit of God, I'm sure, and conviction, and maybe he had heard about Jesus, he gets up and he leaves everything behind. An extremely lucrative, albeit not popular or necessarily truthful, position to become a disciple, committed disciple, and follower of Christ. Why would he do that? He probably wasn't fulfilled in the success that he had. We tend to look at people that have money and think that's what we would want in life, and that would just make everything good, but it doesn't. There's no fulfillment in being rich. I'm not against being rich, especially if you're giving the Christmas gift for Jesus, okay? He was probably longing for something more in life. Outside of just making as much as he could, he lacked a real purpose, something that was of real value. And as soon as he had an opportunity, he bailed on it to pursue something spiritual. And it was a life-saving decision. But what I want us to see and look at briefly this morning is the first thing he does after making that decision. Look at verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, a party, a celebration. And there was a great company of publicans, others like him, and of others that sat down with him. All these people came in. And by the way, a lot of them, which we would call sinners, a lot of them, people without Christ, a lot of them, maybe not the most truthful people in society. And he brings them all in to have a party. But it's not just a party. There was a purpose behind it. There was something more. Why would he throw a party? Why would he have a celebration? Because he's a new man. He couldn't be the same. He had to leave everything behind. And he realizes he's entering into something completely different, but he's doing it willingly because he's following the Savior. He has a new mission. The mission is not now about how much can I extort from other people. He has a mission to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you something? Salvation is always a cause for celebration. It's always a cause to have a party. Some of us, if we're saved, you ought to be the most joyful people on this planet, right? You've heard the phrase before, you know, if you're saved, you might want to tell your face, amen? Okay? We ought to just have joy. I mean, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. Our eternity is changed. I want us to see this party. One throne because of a great Savior. It was the author of Amazing Grace, who was a very sinful man in his life before he trusted Christ. And he said, all I know is I was a great sinner and he is a great Savior. I want you to see four individuals or groups, three in this party. First of all, I want us to notice the host of the party. Verse 27. This in 28, this is Matthew. Matthew, the one who's sitting there at his little place of business, making profit and taking from people and making money off the backs of his own people, sitting there. And Jesus comes and says, hey, follow me. And he gets up and he goes a different direction. What did the party show? It shows this, that he was a changed man. Changed. And by the way, we know this, and this is how change ought to be for us once we get saved. First of all, when we get saved, it ought to change us. Too many people don't want that part of it. But the fact of the matter is, not only should it change us, it ought to be a life, it ought to be until death do us part. By the way, it was for him. He left his business. He became a disciple, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He wrote one of the gospels. He was one of Jesus' 12. And the Bible tells us he went preaching the gospel until history tells us he was eventually martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this was not a small thing. And he celebrates this, and he's bringing people to this. He wants everybody to know that he is changed. Now, let me ask you this. When you got salvation, did you get all of it? Is it changing you? Is it not just, hey, I've got eternal life in my back pocket, and so when I die, no matter what I'm doing in my life, everything's going to be okay. And I'm not against understanding that we're going to heaven when we die. But is that all it is? It ought to be more to us. It's not just an opportunity to have a change of our eternal destiny, which is huge. It ought to be an opportunity for a change of life on this earth as we live. And it ought to continue to the day we die. It ought to change our desire. His desire was no longer to be a tax collector. It was no longer to be wealthy. And by the way, if you're a Christian and you're serving God and you're doing what you're supposed to do and God has given you a good job and you're making, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm saying is we ought to have a better desire in life. We ought to just, look, the reason most people don't change is because we really don't desire change in our life. And we ought to. We can't even understand anything in the Bible unless we're saved and we're changing. A person who is not saved cannot desire. Some people, they'll come to this year and they'll come to the end of this year, and a lot of people, they'll look at the new year and that's their opportunity to make changes in their life. But let me just say this, it's hard to keep those changes unless we get help. And if we're saved, God's Spirit's in us and we can be changed. You have to change a desire. Also, it should change your direction. You know, Jesus said, he said, follow me. Don't follow your career anymore. Don't follow your old life. Don't follow your desire to be wealthy. I have something better for you. Don't be seeking self anymore. I want you to seek the Savior. Don't be serving for wealth. I want you to have a better job. You're going to be serving the world. He was no longer going to follow his career. He was now going to follow a calling. How about us today? What change has Christianity made in your life? And by the way, the party also showed that he had a change in his declaration, what he was willing to say. Being a tax collector at that time said something. It said that you were self-centered, greedy individual that would work for the enemy and against his own people. But this declaration said, I am now working for the Savior. I am now working for the souls of men. By the way, why are we silent? Silence is not golden, right? Now, if you have children in the home, silence can be super golden. We need some of that. But as a Christian, silence is not golden. We don't have that option. People ought to know we're a Christian. We ought to tell them. And he threw the party, and that party meant everything. Like, I am different now. And so we saw the host of the party. Now let me ask you, have you been changed? Do you want to be changed? Do you have a new desire for the things of God? Do you want to follow the will of Christ in your life? And do you want to declare the gospel? But not only was the host of the party, there was the host of attenders. There was a lot of people there. Look, verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others who sat down with them. All these people were there. By the way, the critics were there. We'll see them in a minute. Who's he throwing the party for? The people he once saw as prophet. People he was once willing to chisel every dime out of. The people who knew who he was. As I said before, salvation is too good to keep to ourselves. And yet the majority of us do. We don't want people to know that we are a Christian. By the way, that's always, as you're a Christian, when you get saved, that's always the first step. You ought to just let everybody know. Right? I always say that if you work somewhere, wherever I worked, after I got saved, if I worked a different job, it was a new job, I always found a way right up front to let people know I was a Christian. Not in a self, you know, self-grander type of way, just some way, let them know, because I want them to know I was saved, and I want them to know if something was going on that, hey, this is just who I am. It kind of put me in check, and it kind of put them in check. This is Matthew's ultimate way of saying, hey, I'm saved. But why do we hide it? Because we don't want to be called out on it. We don't want to, we know what that means. We're not going to help people. We ought to want people to know about us. Jesus commands us to be verbal. By the way, why did Jesus come? The Bible came, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Okay, that was Jesus. Well, what about us? Well, what did he tell his disciples? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So his purpose in coming is our purpose in following him. We're not just here to follow him. So we looked at point one where we changed, we're a shiny trophy. No, it's not about that. He wants us to be changed so he can work in our life, and ultimately we can be a blessing and a help to others. And we ought to be that. We ought to be compassionate. We don't need to always be combative. We ought to be aggressive with the Bible and truth without being argumentative. We ought to be knowledgeable but kind. We ought to be living it, not just lipping it. You know, I've met people that are, you know, I stand for Christ, and it's like they talk about hell like they want people to go there. I mean, I'm talking about, come on. They're just like, man, if you're a Christian, you might want to like dial your attitude in, okay? It's like, man, you ought to love people. Not knowing, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to talk to people about Jesus. It's not that hard. You know what you do? You tell them your testimony. What happened to you? I was lost, and someone told me about Jesus and told me I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell, and they told me from the Bible. Use your testimony. That's, you know what a testimony is? Telling others what you have experienced and what you have partaken in. To say I can't talk about my salvation, how'd you get saved? Right? A testimony. Now, you may not know the words. And I've told you before, when I was in a Christian, had all my old friends, like Matthew, a bunch of publicans and sinners. And I didn't know how to witness, so I just brought them to church. Come to church with me. And they're like, they're kind of interested, like something's happened to this guy. Let me check that out. Now, I set them up. Like, we'd be sitting here at the end of the church service. When they'd say, bow your head and close your eyes, I'm like, come with me. They're like, ah, come on. Like, okay. And I'd walk them down to the front. Brother Dave Sisson. And I didn't know. It was Brother Sisson, but I was a new Christian. Like, hey, Dave, this guy doesn't know. This guy's not saved. You need to talk to him right now. And they're like, that's what I came down here for? But, you know, many of my friends were open. Several of them got saved. But, you know, that was good, but a testimony is great, but we need to get to the point where we're trained. See? It's okay. It's like the guy in John where, remember the blind man that Jesus healed him and he immediately took off. He didn't get to talk to Jesus, and the religious people were getting all over him because they didn't like Jesus, and he didn't quite understand who Jesus was, and they're like, and they kept getting on him, and they're like, look, all I know is this. I was blind, but now I can see. That's all I know. But we can't stay there. We need to be trained. We need to learn how to share the gospel and tell the truth to others. Matthew didn't know at this time, but he figured it out. Share the truth. You have to know the truth. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. I mean, if someone were to come up to you and say, you a Christian? And you were to say yes, and they're like, what does that mean? What's the difference between a Christian and a, you know? Come on. We need to know what being a Christian is. Because it's up to us to share that good news. You say, well, Pastor, I wouldn't be very good at sharing that. Okay, let me talk to you for 10 minutes. I'll find something you're interested in. And if I find out what you're interested in, and I were to say, ask me about that, you tell me. We all know about something. Why not this year? Why don't we like, hey, I want to know how to tell people about Jesus Christ. So he brought them in because he wanted them to know the truth. He doesn't want us to get changed so we're some kind of like little like tiny trophy sitting on our shelf that's collecting dust and doing no good. You know what a trophy is? It's a representation of something that happened in the past. And that's okay. But we need to be more than just a trophy. We need to be a testimony. Then I want you to see next the host of the haters. This is where we get ourselves in trouble. Look at verse 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Do you catch that? Now, these people were religious. They were not Christians. And you know what their gripe was? You got a bunch of sinners in here. What in the world is that all about? Now, look, I'm not a brain surgeon. But I kind of figure, isn't that who Jesus is for? Could you imagine if we said, "Hey, church, 10:30 next Sunday, no sinners can come." You know who would be here? No one. It's like, what are we doing here? Well, pastor, sometimes people come to church I don't like. Well, let's go talk to them. They may not like you. You know, oh, pastor, why do we need another bus? I mean, we have a lot of kids in the church. You know, kids are dirty. And by the way, can I say this? I don't like dirt. If you could be having a great day. If I see a stain on the carpet, I'm like, what happened? A scuff mark on the wall. Do you know we have a carpet cleaner? And thank you, Brother Ross, because you're in charge of that. Amen. We have a paintbrush. By the way, and don't look at me. You're sitting there all dressed nice, but I remember when you came. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember when you came. Let's not get so cleaned up. We, like, isn't that who we're supposed to reach? People who were, here we go, you ready? Who were us? Come on, that halo's crooked. One of your horns needs to be sharpened, okay? Look, it's for everybody, and it's the religious people are the ones. They just don't get it. What are you doing? But let's say, look, I remember my dad, and I worked for him. I worked for him before I was a Christian, and all I heard from him was, I didn't grow up with him, but I was working with him. He's like, "Man, you need to calm down. You need to chill out in your life." And then I wasn't working for him, and then I got saved, and I went back to work for him. And he's like, "Man, you've calmed down too much." I'm like, "What am I supposed to do?" And I wasn't upset. I know what he's saying. I get it. He did, but at least he knew there was a difference. Yeah. I remember my mom, she was so confused, you know. And I went home and I cleared out my room. I had my own little room in the back. I had my own entranceway. It's like my own apartment. And when I was in high school, and I had all this stuff on the wall and all the nonsense, and I cleared it all out. I remember the pastor's wife came to visit, and she talking to mom. She goes, "I have no clue what happened to that kid, but everything has been thrown out of his room. He's different." Okay? And by the way, some people don't like it. Here's what I have to say. So what? There are always going to be people around that, you know, that are trying to ruin the party. They're going to throw water on the fire. Like, I want to throw gasoline on the fire. I want more, not less. You have to be strong enough, listen to me, not to let people determine your commitment level to Christ. I'm not saying if someone's confused. Look, an unsaved person, I say it over and over and over. You ought to know it by now. I am not shocked that people who aren't Christians act like people that aren't Christians. And they're going to say things that people who aren't Christians are going to say. I'm not going to knock them for that, but I'm also not going to bow to it. You know, do you have to go to church all the time? No, I want to. You have to give money to buy a bus? No, but I want to. Do you have to, you know, spend time going early and serving and greeting or whatever it is to you do? No, I want to. And don't say pagan. They don't know any better. But don't let the critics stop you. It seems like the people that seem the most religious, sorry about that, aren't. they fight you the most. You know? And it's like, people come to our church. I don't like your church. You know, you run. Someone left one time and said, you know, why are you running those buses? You know, you're just trying to get a bunch of people here? Yes. So we can preach the gospel. You know why we're running the buses? So we can become millionaires. Those buses are expensive. You know, gas costs, oil, cleanup. But you know what? I think God wants us to get out into our community. Yeah. He wants us to serve him. I'm not going to stop. You know, I want to do more for the Lord. They seem religious. You know, they'll say things like, well, you know, so, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. You'll calm down after a while. Well, it's been a long time and I haven't calmed down yet. And I even take melatonin, okay? Well, thank you for that. Well, you know, I'm a Christian too, and you don't need to be that committed. Just say, pfft. You know, the world has changed. We need to change with it. Well, tell me how that works in 5 years. Okay, I just want to follow the Lord. They're going to slander the disciples, right? By the way, if someone's criticizing you for your zeal and commitment to the Lord, you know what that's a sign of? You're doing the right thing. And it's also a sign that you're convicting them. You know, people that don't want to level up, they want to pull you down. So you're on their level. That makes them feel, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody. That's between them and Jesus Christ, but don't stop me. Listen, I'm having a good time. Leave me alone. I am. You know, it would be nice. You know what would be nice? It would have been nice just to tone the whole church down. Not have to build this building. That was a pain in the neck. Okay? Say, why? Inspectors, all the not. But you know what? It's a necessity. Say, well, Pastor, what happens if we keep growing? Don't ask. I'm trying to figure out where we can break walls down. Oh, I'm sorry. Just thinking out loud. But don't. Is Jesus good or not?
Yeah.
Right? You know what it's like? Here's what it's like. I'm almost done. Pray for me. You know, so it's like, you know, when you're kids and you liked a girl in school. Now, in our school, you're not dating until you get out. But, you know, you liked that girl in school and you thought she was great. And then your friend would walk by and like, have you ever seen so-and-so? Who would like her? And you're like, all of a sudden, like, yeah, I guess you're right. You're going to let that guy? Come on. We do it. You know, boy, I love church. I used to go to church. All they want is your money, and all they want is this, and blah, 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 blah. I don't know what your experience was, but leave me alone, because my experience is pretty good. I'm not going to let people push me down because they had a bad, and by the way, say, I've had a bad experience. Then go find a place where you can get a good experience. Don't bail on Jesus. But he threw a party. And that party represented a lot. So what about us? Party represented a change in his life. What change has Jesus made in your life? And by the way, it doesn't mean like, you know, you get saved today and tomorrow you are the saint of saints. It takes a while. Say, Pastor, how long did it take you to arrive? I'm still on the journey, okay? I'll let you know when I get there. It's called death, all right? But thankfully, I'm farther down the road than I was. And by the way, that's all God wants for you. Are you going the right direction? See, what happens, we start to go and then we trip up and it's like, man, it's like, no, you used to be there. You may have got stuck here a little bit, but turn around, let's go. But do we want to change? Are we willing to throw a party to let other people know who Jesus is? And are we willing to ignore those that would try to push us down? I'm not saying be mean spirit. I had family members. They were good people. They just didn't know any better. Like, you're a nut now. You know, you used to be this, and now you're a nutcase. Like, no, I was a nutcase before too, but just a different kind of nutcase. I've always been nuts. But it's like, you know what? They just didn't understand because they didn't understand Jesus. But I'm not going to let that stop me. Levi got it. He got the real deal. I hope we do too. I hope we can celebrate what it means to be a Christian. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for 1 minute. Thank you for listening. We got a little bit extra things in the service. We want a couple minutes longer than normal, but it's a party. It's a party. Levi's like, it's party time. I met Jesus. So what about you this morning? We celebrate the birth of Christ. That's great because the birth of Christ led to the death of Christ, which led to our salvation. But let me ask you a couple questions and then we'll have our invitation. Has salvation made a change in your life? Sometimes we fight that. We get saved and the last thing we would ever want to do is throw a party. Just keep it to ourselves. No. Has the change in your life and the salvation you have, is it open and out there for everybody to see? Are you concealing it? You know, Christianity isn't like, you know, a gun, carry and conceal. That'll be something we're giving out to everybody. Have you let the criticism of others slow you down? And by the way, it may not be friends or family, it may be society. You hear all this stuff. Look, society just throws stuff out and it's a bunch of lies if you just look under the hood. Are you letting others throw water on your Christianity? Don't do that. The greatest life you can live is the Christian life. The greatest relationship you can have is with Jesus Christ. Now, before we open this up, let me just ask one question. Maybe you are Matthew or Levi sitting at his place of business before Jesus came. In other words, you've not answered his invitation for salvation. Here's the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? You say, Pastor, I'm here this morning and I do have doubt. I am not 100% for sure if I were to die today that I'd go to heaven. I couldn't even throw a party because I've not been saved. Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die, but I'd like to. With nobody looking around, would you just briefly put your hand up and put it down? Anybody like that at all? May we stand together this morning. I don't know what God spoke to you about, but that's what this altar is for. If God speaks to us, we want to come and submit what he told us. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Why don't you come?